Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock central, and you all know what that means. It is time to preach God's amazing word. This is Evangelist Steve Cooper, and it's always great to have you all listening in. And of course, Dallas, if you have a couple of numbers I could give for those that want to call in, they can call in and maybe ask questions after the show. But for now, do not interrupt my preaching. That's one thing I do ask. Please do note that I am a real evangelist. I'm a real preacher. I don't just preach on radio. I preach in real churches and, you know, hopefully getting some people saved or seeing some people saved. I have a couple of prayer requests to mention. First thing before we get started, first of all, Church and Core, we have a Youth Council's Ministry trip coming up. This is to take place the 13th through the 15th. We're very excited about that youth trip. Pray for the youth that are involved. I know there are a lot of people that are going to be going to this Youth Council meeting. And pray that God touches the souls and hearts of many that are out there at this youth trip. Also, pray for a couple of people. One guy is right next door to us. Witnessed to him not very long ago. I'm not really sure. His name is Matt. And also pray for another girl that I've witnessed to who got saved. Of course, as soon as I remember that name, I'll get that to you later on. Just pray for her as well. Most importantly, let's pray for this ministry. Everyone bow your head. We'll go ahead and open up the chest in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me once again to come together during this showtime, God, to bring the important word of your message, God, to people that are listening. Lord, one thing about this broadcast is Blog Talk Radio is a radio station that displays previous broadcasts that just doesn't go to one place, but it goes all over the place, Lord. And what did you say about your word? You said, to go ye therefore to all nations, preach and teach the living gospel, the living word. And Lord, that's what I'm here to do today. Father, I pray those that listen to this message, God, they understand, Lord, that I'm not trying to really knock on anyone's door and knock it down, but Lord, I want to debunk some of the false information that's going out there in today's society. God, that's what the evangelist message is all about. The book is to debunk the falsehood messages that are out there that are getting people sent to hell. God, just to live in your word. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. I'm going to sing a song. The song is called Basics of Life. I'm sure you'll love it. This has actually got this is one of my favorites. So it's by For Him. I hope you all enjoy this song as I sing The Basics of Life. It goes along with the message I want to preach.
We have all this other stuff going.
The song is kind of like Paula talking, but different.
Turn the page, for a new day has dawned. We need to rearrange.
What is that?
Okay, let's try this again. Turn your page, for a new day has dawned. Just meditate, you find much, much wrong.
Let's try this. Hang on a second, guys. We got to find it. All right, here we go. Now I got it.
Turn the page for a new day has dawned. We will be arranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. Where are the virtues that once gave us life? Where are the forces that governed our life? Someday we all will wake and look back just to find what we lost. We need to get back to the basics of life. A heart that is pure, love that is light, faith that is heard, of the ground that is right, the hope that is served for all time. These are the basics we need to get back to the basics of life. Oh, the church was. And we rearrange just to rearrange it out. Just meditate and you can overturn every doubt. After all that is the topic say, God is no longer alive. I I know the rocks of all ages will stand through the changes of time, through the changes of God. We need to get back to the basics of life. Heart that is yours, love that is life, faith that is further.
You know, I love that song. The reason why I love that song is I didn't, and I actually wasn't going to start my message out this way. Kind of weird, but I guess God has other things planned. But the song makes a whole lot of sense when it comes to this violence, this outrage that we have going on in schools today, kids breaking out and doing these protests for so many reasons. That I understand they're trying to have that one voice. However, some of the protests are going way beyond just for more than just one voice. Some of the protests that are going on are for evil things to allow to happen in the school. And, you know, God specifically says in his words, we're all about him. Then that is where we need to be. We don't need to be no other place. You know, it's kind of sad. Me and my coworker and me and my best friend have to worry about going to work and have to worry about watching our backs just because we're afraid someone's going to pull a gun on us, or just because we can't check bags just because, you know, and we're afraid somebody is going to cause a bomb to be thrown out there in the lobby somewhere or in one of the auditoriums. Scary. It's a scary feeling. So we don't know exactly how blessed we are to live in the day that the Lord God has allowed us to live. Even in high school, violence seems to be breaking out. And we see, and when we ask doctors or when we ask any other person, they'll tell you that they don't know why this is happening. Well, I clearly know why, because you're taking God out of schools. You're taking prayers out of schools. You're taking God's principles out of schools when it needs to be there and should have remained there in the first place. But you want to know what's wrong? We became more political correct. And we started worrying about being more political correct. Then we started to be more godly correct. God's principles and political principles aren't the same. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago for all of us, so that we can live according to God's standards and according to God's will. I remember the first thing that will always happen in school in announcements is prayer. Before the principal would get started on anything else, he would say, let us all bow our heads for a moment of silence for our fallen soldiers. Let us all bow our heads just for a moment of silence. And then he would tell us to pray. And we would pray. He would not go through any other announcement that was on his list until he prayed that prayer. Once that prayer was done, that was it, through the announcements, like it was nothing. So what is the importance of this message? The importance of this message is to reflect why there's so much violence going on in this world today. The importance of this message is to reflect why teenagers are falling out of God's grace, and why the church seems to be dying more than it is living. You may say, well, Brother Steve, wait a minute, my church isn't dying, my church is living. We have Sunday school worship every Sunday morning. People come in left and right. The benches are filled. But I wonder how many of those benches that are filled are truly listening to God. That's the question. I wonder how many of them are going to church just because they feel like that this is just the normal routine. And I wonder how many are going to church just because they go for God. They go for Jesus. It's like the Sprite emblem. Just do it. When I was working at theater, I'm one of the ushers there, and one of the ushers, ushering is pretty well almost like a hard job. Because there's decisions as an usher that you got to make that you don't want to make. And so last night, whenever I was just now coming around the hallway, I was told about this little incident that happened earlier that was escorted out earlier out of these auditorium, out of these theaters. I was told about this incident, and I was aware of it then, and all of a sudden I was told to come with this person, so I did. When I got down there to address the situation, there was this little boy, and I mean, he looked like he was only about 11 or 10 years old. I stood there with his grandmother, and I stood there with him as they were there talking, and all I could hear from that boy that come out of his mouth was a word other than please and thank you. That little boy, he looked at me, he called me everything in the white book. And you know what he said? He said, and there's nothing you can do about it. I thought to myself, oh, yes, I can. Because you don't yell at your grandmother in our property. You see, when it's our property, we have the right to do what we need to do. Whether it be call the Fort Oglethorpe Police Department, or whether it be to simply escort them out the door, we have that right to do so. Because we were given that right as a working place. Because that working place is to let guests have a good time while watching a movie and let guests enjoy themselves while they're with one another. Not for drama to break out. It isn't a place to let drama to break out. It isn't a place to let everything and anything that could possibly ungodly happen. No, that's not the issue. The issue is to keep the place peaceful and quiet and let people enjoy themselves and entertain themselves with the movies that we have going on. So the question is, why are kids doing this? Why are these teenagers calling us grown-ups everything in the book other than a white person? Because I'll tell you why. Parents aren't living their principles as they promised. They're not being backed by the principles, and every time they tell the judge, yes, sir, I'll do it, they end up normally don't doing it because why? They want to be that kid's best friend. They want to be that kid's role model and not really a mentor, not really a parent that they should be. And that's where the kid falls in and out of line. And that's where the kid starts messing up. And pretty soon, that's where the kid ends up age, or even worse, ends up 6 feet under, or possibly even going to jail. I want to say something. If I would have acted like that a long time ago, my dad, I would have found myself picking myself back up back up 5,000 years ago. I would never talk to my parents that way. I would never address my parents that way. And if I did, man, I would be picking my teeth up along with trying to find the rest of my body. You just did not do it. But the reason why all this is taking place is because we have taken godly correction out of our homes, out of our schools, and what did we replace it with? Politically corrected laws. That's what we've replaced it with. I want you to go with me into Romans chapter 1 through 16. I want to talk to you today about why it's important to be in continual prayer. I was talking to Dallas last year, I do believe, and Dallas to back this up. I was talking to Dallas about, and Dallas said, I just don't understand why people are turning away from prayer. You know, that's the reason why violence is going on in school today. That is the reason why so many kids are suffering AIDS and HIVs. That's the reason why so many kids are being put 6 feet under early, is because parents have allowed their kids to stop praying. Stop raising their kids on that golden rule. And if it's ever so heartbroken, or ever so heartbreaking like it is now, it is to God. For the very reason God sent his own son Jesus to die on the cross is the very same reason we're taking that cross and belting Jesus over the head with it again and again and again and again. And we just don't care. I want you to open to Romans chapter 1:1-6. Paul is an awesome, awesome man in this Bible. As a matter of fact, before Paul became Paul, he was a martyr. He was a backslider. Well, not really, I don't want to say backslider. He was a martyr, and he was a guy that upheld the Romans by arresting other Christians, having them put to death. Paul was the man that was out there for himself, just like these political walls. They're out there for themselves. So in Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to explain to you, and your mouth may drop today because you think I'm debunking a couple of you Christians out there. You think that I'm, but this is what God laid on my heart, okay? This is what God wants me to preach about today. This is what God really wants me to set straight. And for some of you, and for a lot of you other denominations, and again, I'm not trying to knock anything in the head, but Jesus says enough is enough, and he wants me to debunk this today, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to debunk this. And you're fixing to find out what I'm fixing to debunk. Or better yet, what God is fixing to debunk. That's the important thing. What I want you to do is go into Romans chapter 1:1-6 in your King James Version Bible. And here's what it says, Romans chapter 1:1-6. Now, this is Paul. Paul is a very, very peculiar person. Can you give me an amen? He is a very peculiar person. Paul knows because he's been through it all. And so Paul has hardened his spirit, has softened his heart, and that's why God loves him so much. It's because on the road to Damascus, Paul's eyes were open. But before they were open, they were blinded. He was like, man, are you just too blinded to see that I am God? And why do you persecute my church, Paul? He said, Saul, why do you persecute my church? So I want to read this story to you. Paul here's the character, and I want to say it today. Paul is a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle. He was not yet called because he was still in the in-between. But he was to be called as an apostle, separated, now listen to this, separated unto the gospel of God. Here's the starting point for Paul. In verse 2 says, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the prophets is Isaiah, of course, and Ezekiel, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now listen to verse 4 through verse 6. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Listen to that. I want you to hold on to those key words. Resurrection from the dead. In verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name. In verse 6, among him you are also called of Christ Jesus. Now, what I want you to look at is verse 5 and verse 4. Verse 4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit There's the key word, holiness. By the resurrection from the dead, in verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship is the second key word, and obedience is the third word among all the nations. Now, today what I want to talk to you about is prayer, and not just prayer, but continually in prayer. And the three key words that I mentioned, I want us all to look at: holiness, apostleship, and obedience. What is holiness? Let me tell you what holiness is. One of the doctrines of my Salvation Army Corps, and I want to share this doctrine with you, and it's one of the doctrines in our Salvation Army Corps. I can remember well, it's doctrine number 9, and I want to tell it, and I'm going to tell it to you straight out because I know these doctrines. I've studied them out, I know them, and I want to read it, and I'm just going to give them to you, give number 9 to you. Number 9 is we believe that the continuance in a state of salvation, almost said of salvation, but we believe that the continuance in a state of salvation depends on what? Depends on continued obedience in Christ. There's that word again, continued obedience, faith in Christ. Let me tell you something. The Salvation Army does not believe in once saved, always saved. Because why? Because if that were true, then we would simply be calling Paul's concept of a Christian a liar. Now, yes, the book of Psalms talks about where no one shall pluck them out of my hand. However, if there should. So that means we are still at a reliable choice of whether we let sin and darkness pluck us out of God's hands or not. If we let sin and darkness pluck us out of God's hands, then are we therefore still God's children? Yes, but that does that mean we're still going to heaven? God forbid, Paul said. Christ died unto sin once, and he will not, should not, die unto sin again. Christ already took care of the handiwork 2,000 years ago. When he folded the cloth and Mary, for some reason I've got a plague going through my mind, when he folded the cloth and Mary and Martha came right up to the tomb, Jesus was already finished his work. The cloth has already been folded. So all we lack on our part is our part of the ministry, is our part of the work, and our part is to simply continue in faith. Because why? The Bible says that without faith it is what? It is impossible to please God. That's like my girlfriend, for example. If I were to mistreat my girlfriend continually, would I expect rewards from her? Of course, but would that mean that I get them from her? No. Because no woman in her right mind wants to be treated that way. And just like God, God in his own mind, in his own heart, in his own compassion, yes, he loves us. Yes, he wants us to be with him, but he does not or will not tolerate our behavior. Because it's just not holy. If my Salvation Army would have believed once saved, always saved, then we would be lying to our spirit. Remember what Paul said, Jesus died unto once. He died under sin unto once. He gave his life for sin once. He's not going to do it again and again and again and again. So what does Paul go into the next? What does Paul go and say next? He says that God must increase and I must decrease. What does that mean? That means while God is giving me what I need, not what I deserve, We don't deserve God's grace, first of all. We don't even deserve to be here on this earth. We don't even deserve to even breathe the next breath. But God gives it to us willingly. He gives that next breath to us thinking that we're going to change. He gives that next breath to us thinking that we are going to grow continually in His Word, that we are going to grow continually here, that we are going to grow continually in His hope. What did David say? He said, Lord, teach me how to grow. Listen, my heart is set on women. My heart is set on music. But I love you. And I want to follow you. But how? I need your help, God. David was really crying out to God. And not just for prayer, but David was crying out with his music. His music would be a testimony to so many that were out there. David's music touched people. David had a heart that was fully after God. If you go back in the book of Psalms, you can see every little passion that David had in his mind, every little passion that David had in his heart. And if you look and see the brokenness, and if you look and see all the life that David experienced, man, you'd be thinking that I was a David. David being young and knowingly innocent. In God's eyes, David probably felt that he wasn't even worthy even to be called to play the music, even to be called to be used by God. But what did God do? He cleaned him up. He said, oh, it's okay, son. I know you've fallen, but you can get right back up again. You can try even harder. You know, last night I was thinking of when I was cleaning the auditoriums, how much work I put into cleaning under the seats, getting the popcorn from out of there, how much work I think of putting into getting all that paper out there. And then I think of the people who eagerly take their popcorn and spill it all over the place. I get so mad and irritated because it's getting down to that last minute for me to close out. It's getting down to that last minute. My hour is getting in the red. And I get so irritated and I get so frustrated. In fact, last night I even yelled at my manager over it. But you know what? I wonder how many times God does us the same way. We let Him clean the front part of us out. We let Him clean the popcorn and the bags from under us that we have on it. But yet we still want to hold on to the little bitty pieces of crumbs of sin in our lives and those little bitty corners that we just won't let God reach. You say, well, preacher, it's powerful. Yeah, that's what I learn when I'm at work. And then we wonder why we go through so much more. We wonder why we let things pile up on us in life. We wonder why we can't seem to hardly get our way. It is because we're still holding just a little bit back when we should have given it all to God. My girlfriend reminds me every single day, she says, honey, give to God and everything's just going to be okay. Giving it to God is one thing. But giving it all to God is another, because it is an easy point. Because I, human flesh, like to hold on to that pain. I, human flesh, like to use those as a tool so that I could just bounce back when life does attack. I think I have to have all this so that I could be the human warrior in this life. But God looks at me through the Spirit and says, no, you don't. Listen, I've already taken care of this for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. You don't have to hold on to this. You don't have to get yourself straightened like you do. You don't have to get yourself broken down like you do. Because I love you, and this is for the very reason why I gave myself on the cross for you. Romans chapter 8 says in verse 27, he that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. How many times in your life have you tried praying to God and simply you felt like your prayer wasn't just going anywhere? Or you felt like within yourself that you just don't know how to pray? How many times? I know I sure can. I know there's a couple of prayers I've said I wish I shouldn't have said because it sounded stupid to me. No matter how floppy and wobbly that prayer may seem to us, the Spirit carries it all the way, straightens it up, and brings it just like a postal does the mail in the post office room. It works everything to our good, to those that love the Lord. It never fails. That's the way the Holy Spirit is. But see, the one thing that we have to be in our hearts, and I mentioned this earlier in the ministry, the one thing that we have to be in our heart is continually obedient. You know, I could say that I have a job at AMC Theaters, but if I'm not working like I should, they're going to fire me. If I'm not doing my job like I should, they're just going to find someone else and get rid of me and fire me. Why? Because I'm not doing my part. And if I turn my head to even adhere, not to adhere to the policies and the rules they have there, I get fired or I get written up, whatever the case is. But either way, there's a punishment that's about to take place. Isn't that the way it is in the kingdom of heaven? When we don't seem to act right, when we don't seem to live right, what happens? God reminds us every single day through a brother. God reminds us every single day through a sister. God tells us, hey, you need to get on the right path. You're not going the right direction like you should. What did Jesus say between the broad and the narrow way? What did Jesus say? Broad is the way, broad is the gate that leads to destruction. But what else did he say? Narrow is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to life everlasting. You want to know why we went the broad way a lot of times in life? I'll tell you why. Because we do not want to be spiritually correct anymore. We feel like, I'm this person, I'm that person. I could just go out and do whatever I want to do. I could go out and cuss my mom. I could go out and cuss my daddy and still expect to make it in this life. Knowing that later on, God is going to remind us and he's going to point to us and say, hey, you know you did this. This is why you're going through what you're going through. And when life catches up on us in that broad path, that's God saying, okay, you've been out in the broad path for so long. Now these sorrows are happening, and now all these other things are happening because this is where you need to be. It's just simply that continual obedience in Jesus Christ lined up with the will of God. It's all we are in Christ Jesus. God rewards those who are obedient to his ways, his will, and his laws to the righteousness. In fact, that's what a fervent prayer is. That's what a fervent prayer does. You know, I don't want to pick on my buddy Will, for example. I love Will to death. Will listens to his trainings on YouTube. He listens to a lot of his music. I love him to death. Because there's a lot of times when he knows my heart is burning, and I'm out there at the church, and all of a sudden I feel hit that I need to pray a prayer. He comes right up there and he prays with me. He goes right up that altar and he prays with me. You know what that means? That means a lot to me because you know what? That tells me that my best friend Will is there to encourage me. That tells me that my best friend Will is there to help me uplift my burden and to help me get back on the path that I need to go on. That is God's way of saying, hey, Steve, you messed up, but I want to put you back on this path. That's why it's so important to have Christian friends. That's why it's so important to have Christian family. That is why it's so important to have that Christian accomplishment. Why? Because there is there to help you to make your way through life. You see, we are the same with God. When we are in the wrong way, God is going to chastise his children. What does the Bible say? Whom God loves, he chastises. He's not going to go and laugh and let us just do anything that we want to do. He's not just going to go and let us run out there and act stupid and all careless and not expect to get a punishment. God is going to punish us. Because why? Because he loves us. He wants the best for us. And sometimes giving us the best, what does he do? He has to take away from us. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we grow as a church. Sometimes we think the disappointments of life is there to beset us, when all it is there to do is to set us up encouragingly and knowingly to grow in the wisdom of God. Prayer is a prayer that is seasoned of our intentions and not God's intentions. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to cook. Yesterday, I cooked some macaroni with the sausage in it. Oh, it was so delicious. It really set the mood for my job later that evening. I love to cook steak. I like to take different seasons, and I like to kind of mix it into some vinegar and some ranch and just let it soak in there for at least about a good few minutes, and then put it right there in the frying pan or in the grill and get it done and cook it to the medium or cook it to well done, however people like it. Man, it is so good. All that pepper on it, and it's got all them juices, and it tastes so good. That's how God wants our prayer to be. But he doesn't want our prayer to be seasoned with, he doesn't want our prayer to be seasoned with evil thoughts. He doesn't want our prayer to be seasoned outside of doing God's will. He wants our prayers to be instant, in season and out of season. He wants our prayers to be upright, knowingly following his will before us. That's why when the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? What did Jesus say? When you pray, you close your eyes, you enter in your closet, you wash your face, saying this prayer, O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, many out there love to be heard for their much speaking, and behold, they already have their reward. Those that pray secretly, the Father rewards openly. Nobody has to hear your prayer. Nobody has to hear that you prayed for this person or that you prayed for that person. All people want to simply do is know that you're praying for them. Know that we're reaching out with. Know that we're reaching out to them. And know that we're reaching out for them. Because God answers the prayers does not necessarily mean we need to stop praying. We continue to pray. We continue to pray. When things are going right, we continue to pray. When things are going wrong, we continue to pray. When things are not going so well before, we continue to pray. When things look like they're going to get well, we continue to pray. We never stop praying. That's why violence has increased in the church or in the schools. That's why now there's some violence increasing in the churches. That's why there's violence increasing in America. That's why kids are turning to their own wicked ways. It's because we've taken prayer away. Things of all but worldly desires. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 33. Go with me there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 33 says, or actually it's Philippians chapter 4, Matthew 6, 33. Sorry about that, not Philippians. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, the one thing what I love about that is the kingdom of heaven is his righteousness according to his riches and glory. We may want to win a $1 million ticket lottery, but God wants us to win souls. We may want an expensive household with an expensive house and a real nice car and a real nice boat. God wants us to have a healthy body, a good life to live, and a family that loves us. You see, the worldly things does not matter to God. God did not just give himself up wastefully. He didn't give himself wastefully. He gave himself up for us so that we should want to follow after the truth, so that we should want to hunger after his righteousness, so that we should want to thirst after his grace and grow daily in it. We're going to take a break. I'm going to send it to Dallas for a timeout, and we'll come back right after this. God bless you all. We'll see you in just a minute.
Take a break right now.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. We're back. Dallas said, you know, there's music is buffering, so what we're going to do is continue on. We've only got a couple more points, and I'm going to come to a close. I really enjoyed being here today. Romans chapter 8, 26, we're going to talk about how prayer works, but first we're going to talk about the continual prayer. So the question is, what do we as Christians pray for? 16 gives the proclamation. 16 says, confess your faults to one to another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, what does that mean? A righteous man. A righteous man is the man like Job who eschewed evil, feared God knowingly, and follow God's commandments. That's what a righteous man is. A righteous man does not complain about everything when he doesn't get his way. A righteous man always continues to love, provides way for his family and for his friends, knowingly important first, providing for his family. That's what a righteous man is. A righteous man is one who raises his children, spanks his children when he needs it, and sets them on the narrow path. That's what a righteous man is. In fact, that's what a righteous parent is in today's society. But because the world has become so worried about being politically incorrect and all this other jazz, that's why they're throwing parents into jail, because now these days, every time they want to lay a hand on their kid, they're threatened to be put in jail. Their kid is threatened to be taken away. And what does that do? That just brings the more rage in America. That increases the more violence in America. Well, stop worrying about being politically correct. And let's start worrying about slapping the Bible down in front of the table, taking the phones away when it's time to eat, getting together in prayer, and putting prayer back in our society. So the last thing, but not least, is how does prayer work? Well, prayer works this way. Romans chapter 8, 26. Listen to what it says. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. What does infirmities know? Infirmities mean that God knows that we're not perfect by any means. He knows there's no holy bone in us. He knows that we're bound to make mistakes. He knows that we're bound to fail. But he also knows that we're really, really, really showing God that we're trying. That's what infirmities are. So here it is. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but it's the Spirit that makes intercession for us. Now, let me tell you how intercession works. Intercession is like a request that's being made known. You ever call a radio station to play a song request, and you don't exactly know the name of the song, but you're trying to describe every little bit part of the song to the radio station and tell them, and they're like, well, it's going to take me a while to look it up. And you just know that on the top of your head that you've got that song on your mind. That song on your mind is the song that you want to hear, the song that you're in the mood to hear right now. Then all of a sudden, the radio station, the DJ at the radio station gets it so mixed up, he plays a different song, but still yet, it's a song that benefits your feeling. And you're sitting there thinking, well, this isn't the song that I really wanted to hear, but it really, really is talking to me. This is the song I didn't really want to hear, but it's a good song, and it's lining up with everything that's going on in my life right now. That's the way intercession works. Your prayer, when you pray it to the Father, it won't go the way you see it going. The Spirit will come and cleanse the prayer. The Spirit will come and strengthen that prayer. The Spirit will take that prayer, that groaning within your heart, that groaning within your mind, that groaning within your soul, and take it up to the Father in the way it needs to be taken. And you may have prayed many things in that prayer, but the one thing that God picks out is the one thing that He knows is going to be best for you and your family and what's working good in your life right now. You see, just because we think God is living with us or inside of us, we think that He's not working anywhere else. I've got news for you. God has large enough hands and wide enough arms, but He's helping millions and millions of people, and He's still in your spot. God's never left you. He's never forsaken you. I don't understand why a lot of these health problems go on in life the way they do. That's why. God promised His disciples that we were going to go through some challenges. He promised His disciples that we were not going to go through some easy slides, but He also promised us that He would be there every step of the way, and that we are going, and that we could use these things to become strengthened. I'm about to come to a close, and I will mention this. A couple of days ago, girl, I forgot her name. She was going through a mighty battle in her life. She was dealing with depression. She was dealing with anxiety, and she would all the time turn around and try to take pills to kill herself. God came to my spirit and He said, "You need to talk to this girl, because there's no one else that can get through her except you." See, what I was about to do that following Easter Sunday is I was going to get Melanie. I was going to say, "Look, Melanie, you know, you can go in there, whatever you need to do. I want you to go and sit in the car." God said, "I want you to go in there and I want you to talk to her." So, listening to my God, I went in there in that house. I said, "God, if it's your will, you're going to make a way for me to talk to her." I waited in there and I talked to her grandparents. Melanie and Crystal went back there to try to find her along with Whisper. Brittany said, "I'm going to give you the directions to do this the way that needs to be done, the way that you don't want to do it, but the way that I want it to be done." And I remember as I was in the living room and sitting down and talking with these people, Melanie and Crystal and Whisper brings this girl out to the living room. And there she is, and I looked spiritually. And I could see how bounded and chained that she was. And I thought to myself, even just by looking at her, I thought to myself, this girl is trouble. This girl has got chains that no one else can break or bind except God. And the only way that these chains can be broken is if I pray for her. The Bible said, a prayer of the upright availeth much. If God sees that you're really, really trying, if God sees that you're really, really reaching, putting forth an effort, God is going to use you every step of the way, no matter how dirty you may be seeming inside. God is going to, or outside, sorry, God is going to clean you up, he's going to set you straight, and he is going to use you. Just ask him. I can't help but think of that woman who committed adultery, right? She was found and she was caught in the act of committing adultery. And there the Pharisees and the Sadducees frowned upon her, and they found her, and they drug her way across Israel to bring her forth to Jesus. Of whether if he was following God or if he was following the law. Now, I don't know about you, but they were really trying to cause Jesus trouble. As they brought her to Jesus to see, what did Jesus do? He looked at her problems inside her heart. He looked on the outside of her. And they told Jesus, they said, by law, this woman should be stoned according to the law of Moses. And because, Lord, she was caught in the act of adultery. Well, they didn't call him Lord, they called him teacher. Caiaphas asked Jesus, he said, but what do you say? Started writing on the ground. And everybody looked at it. They looked at his action. What did Jesus do? He got back up, and he said, those without sin, you be the first to cast your stone. No matter how many times we get angry and lie, we always want to take a stone and cast that, the very thing that really, really matters, that we just seem to push out of the way. We want to take that stone and we want to crush the very person who loves it, who's trying to give their life for us. And yet we just push them out of the way. And we stone them with every word from our heart. We stone them with our feelings. And we stone them and we think that we're getting by with that. Okay. But we're not. We're always going to be there. That hurt is never going to leave. That brokenness is never going to go away. Oh, yeah, it'll eventually heal. I would say that woman that was on that ground, she was so worried and so scared that Jesus, who is almighty and all-powerful, all-knowing, left heaven's throne just to go down there to teach and preach the gospel to the nations. That same Jesus that cast the demons, that had power enough to calm and still the storm within the boat for 12 men. The same Jesus that raised the body, that raised a dead brother from a tomb. The same Jesus who went to the cross and was nailed there. Where the twain was ripped from top to bottom. That same Jesus right there before her feet. And she was afraid. I was probably thinking, oh man, they threw me to the man now. In her heart, I do believe that she knew within her heart that this guy was God's son. I do believe that within her heart that she knew just how powerful and almighty that Jesus was. And that Jesus was all about righteousness. And just because Jesus was all about purity, she knew that within her heart, oh, this is it for me now. I'm going to get rid of me. But what a surprise when Jesus looked at her with grace and looked at the crowd and said, he that is without sin, you be the first to cast the stone. I go to that to tell you this, folks. stop praying for your brothers. Don't stop praying for your sisters. Don't stop praying for your family. Don't stop praying for those just seem to not get to. Just because you can't get to them 5 years now doesn't mean you're going to get to them 13 years later. We must push for excellence. We must push for God's power. We must push for the authoritative way of God. And what does push mean? We must pray. We cannot give up. We must pray until something happens. I want you to put that on your Facebook status. And I want you to tell your friends on that Facebook, you don't have to tell them I'm praying for you. You could say I'm pushing for you. I want you to put on that Facebook status, push, B, period, U, period, S, period, H, period. And when they ask you, what does that mean? You tell them, I am pushing for you. I'm giving up on you. That means that we're always going to be there for them every step of the way. You might have the worst enemy on your Facebook friends list. You might have the worst enemy on your contacts on your phone. But you know what? No matter how much they hate you, you can look at them and say, hey, I'm pushing for you. No matter what goes on in your life, I'm a pushing for you. No matter what you think about me, I'm a pushing for you. No matter what your feelings are toward me, I'm a pushing for you, and I'm not going to stop. Pretty soon, God is going to work within their hearts. There's going to be a staring that's going to be showing up, and it's going to willfully happen. Because God wills it to happen. I want you to say, I'm pushing for you. No matter what happens, I'm pushing for you. The reason why all these full violences are going on, the reason why kids are turning to their own way, and the reason why things are happening in life the way they are, is because we stopped pushing. We stop pushing in the authority of grace of God. We stop pushing in that needed faith, that distilled faith. We stop wanting to be positioned in Jesus Christ. Instead, we turn our own way instead of turning the way toward Jesus. I'm going to play a song. And I just want you to kneel down. Kneel down. And I want you to pray with your head bowed and your eyes closed. As this song plays, I want you to just put a friend in your mind. Jesus is at the foot of the cross.
Lord, I pray, God, that you continue to show me.
You all have a blessed day. I'll see you next week.